Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in arts, entertainment, politics, and community activism. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to delve into the topic of STEM. As an educator and as someone who is an advocate for education and youth, especially youth of color, this is a program that is near and dear to my heart. I see so many young ladies and men, but especially young ladies of color who have a great aptitude, have a passion or inclination for math and science, and often due to their environment and due to demographics where they live or what's available or not available, aren't given the opportunities to excel, if you will, to the point where they can in math and science and computers, or often just due to the fact that it's hard to find people who have the ability to teach and are certified in this area, to come to school districts that perhaps aren't as feasible or don't have the salary level that someone who is knowledgeable of these bases would require. So tonight we are going to talk about breaking that glass ceiling. And if you are an parent, if you're an educator, or you're a community activist, or you're just concerned about STEM education and how it looks and how can we get more students of color involved, this is a program you need to listen to and share. I have with me some of the brightest women in STEM. You may know a lot of them through readers events or through books or just through social media, but these women rock. You hear me? These women rock. So I have Vanessa Riley, Connie Moore, and Linda Hargrove. And a lot of you probably, when I put out, I had people messaging me like, I didn't know anything about STEM. Are you sure that you have the right topic? Yes, honey, I have the right topic and I have the right people. So I'm going to delve in because Connie and I have been talking for the last 10 minutes, and she's probably tired of me talking about STEM and how a lot of time you don't see the representation of women of color, just women in period, in these programs. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics. While women of color college students report interest in STEM majors at equivalent rate as their white counterparts, they remain the least represented group in STEM. Women of color account for a small number of bachelor degrees across STEM fields, with less than 3% awarded to African-American women, 3.6% to Latinos, 4.8% to Asian women, according to 2014-15 National Center of Educational Statistics. Hopefully that will change. I know a lot of programs have been created to increase the representation. I've taken my daughter to countless coding programs that Capital One provides free of charge. I've taken her to programs, Black Girls Code, which there is a charge. They do have scholarships, but there's a minimal investment of $35. And a lot of times, and you all can correct me, ladies, a lot of times I feel in our African-American communities, a lot of times we want everything free. You know, raising kids is an investment. And just like you invest in those bundles, which I am not judging because I wear weaves, just like you invest in bundles and you invest in shoes, you have to invest in your children. So let's talk about how we as African-American mothers, aunts, community activists, Connie, going to let you hold this question. How can we invest in our children when it comes to STEM programs, and what is the importance of that to you?
STEM is important for anybody because it kind of goes through all of the I want areas of science, tech, engineering, math, and now art. Anyone can get in the program. It's important for you to seek out through your library, counselors at your school, your teachers, everybody. This program has been around for a long time now, and people are really pushing kids to go into it. And it's not very hard to get in. Just ask someone. All educators know about STEM now. So you just ask whoever's at your school, your counselor, even churches. Everybody knows about it. It's an important just ask, and you'll get the information that you need.
Now, Karen, let's talk about what is your area of expertise in the area of STEM?
I'm not really an I wouldn't say that I'm really an expert because I did get graduate with an applied mathematics degree, but I didn't take that route. Once I got to NASA and I got into, because I originally thought I was going to go there and be a rocket scientist, but when I got there, I got into public affairs and I just loved it because, you know, I was helping people. And so I kind of went in that direction.
But now I'm going to say you are an expert. Because I don't think
public affairs, we do have STEM, we have education and those types of things. So I'm still kind of involved in it, but not so much on the educational front.
Now, Vanessa, what is your, speaking of fields, what are a few of your fields in the area of STEM?
A few of my fields are from the science and technology and engineering, and I guess even the math aspect. I'm a data scientist, so I am looking at large models of behavior of the data that we create, how many times we do something, how many times you click on something, how many times you have a proclivity to do something online. All that data is collected, and people like me go through and we try and analyze it and we try and make it make sense so that businesses can make decisions. And so that touches on so many things. There's the behavioral science, so understanding why people do what they do. There's the technology. Something has to code in order to capture all that data. The engineering of, well, how is it going to look on this computer versus my smartphone versus my smartwatch?
And that's
all
very important.
And that
is very important. Very important. Because just like anyone who has a website, and a lot of times people that create websites, especially if you do it on your own, people may look at only one entity. And they're looking at it from a desktop version. And, you know, I think something, and Vanessa, you can correct me, more than 60% of what we look at is probably mobile. Would that be correct?
It varies on age group, but you are correct. It's more people are coming in on their smartphones, their smartwatches, their iPads. And doing a lot of things. So if you are only looking at a laptop or only looking at a desktop type computer, you are missing out on how people are responding and acting and behaving towards your different media. So you've got to have that in mind because you're going to miss people. And that's the thing.
Exactly.
And as you were talking earlier, we are getting missed as a people, as our girls and our boys, they're getting missed from this wave that's really propelling the future. And so anything we can do to get people to look at science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, that's going to make a difference for these next coming generations.
All right, Linda, are you on?
Yes.
Hi, Linda.
Yes, I'm here. I was muted.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've been taking notes. lots of good stuff y'all been talking about. I wanted to chime in if it's okay.
Yes.
Now, you asked a question about the role that parents can play.
Yes.
I've done a lot of thinking and reading because I work as a contributing engineer, faculty associate at a university in North Carolina, College of Engineering. And I see a lot of parents, you know, they come through with their kids on tours and we go to recruitment events and that kind of thing. And I think they just don't know how big a role they play as gatekeepers, as the encouragers, and they can hold the gate open or they can hold the gate closed based on what you were saying, how much investment they're willing to make toward that kid's future in STEM. And I just think they think it's up to the school system or it's up to the college recruiters or the guidance counselors, and they don't really understand that they play a role, even if they say to themselves or maybe out loud to their kid, oh, I wasn't good at math or I hate chemistry or whatever. They should stop saying that. You know, some things we need to keep to ourselves. I've never said that to my kids. I know they're like, Mom, you're strange. I say math is fun. Math is great. Math is poetry. Oh, my goodness, math is. And, I go on and on about math. But you know what? I hated math when I was in third grade. But, I mean, I have a whole story to tell about when my dad sat me down and said, thou shalt do math. I don't care if you do cry, big crocodile tears. You're going to sit down and you're going to do this. And that opened up doors for me. So even though he, you know, he had a ninth grade education, eventually got his GED, he saw something, a deficiency in me with math, and said, this is not going to be in my household. You know, eventually, you know, he did push through. I think he was 27 when he got his GED. Wow. And, you know, that was, I was in kindergarten. In kindergarten, first grade, and seeing him do that, I didn't know what he was doing. Because my dad has got these books, and he's going to these night classes, and you know, I'm back in the back seat of this Maverick, sliding around with his books because we didn't have seatbelts back then. Y'all know how old I am now, and you know, I found out later what he was doing. He was valuing his education, and he was valuing mine, and I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that. Anyway,
very important. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's important. And, prior to us actually airing, Connie and Connie was listening to me vent, but I told her I moved. It's no secret. When I moved primarily to give my daughter a different chance because I saw the inclination in math. She was a little science. She still, you know, she said it's okay, but she really gets math. She understands math. Numbers, things of nature. You know, I can help her with her homework. I always tell you, but actually, you should YouTube because you do not want me looking at charts, graphs, those numbers, and all that kind of stuff at the level that she is. But I understood that. I made the investment, and I know everybody can't do this, to give her a different avenue, to give her a different chance when it comes to her mapping out the buildings. I understand a lot of people can't do that. But I know that there are in every area, even if you're in a rural area, and even through the internet, through virtual learning, there are opportunities for us as parents or guardians or aunts or just community leaders to take the lead. So, Vanessa, how important do you feel, and what would you suggest as Vanessa's a computer guru, requires help. She's a computer guru. So what steps would you take or what would you suggest other parents or other activists in the community to take to encourage or to introduce some of the higher level math and sciences to students of color?
I think it takes, as Linda was saying, it takes involved parents. Parents don't realize how much that they are part of the process and then how much gets missed because we assume the teacher's going to show them, or we think the principals, or we think this group, you know, all these schools are so great, and they're not realizing that things are slipping through the cracks. And so, you know, at every opportunity, show them math, show them how these things make sense. Like simple things, my mom used to try and guesstimate how much gas was left in the tank. And we'd have to do that the mile conversion, right, and figure out, well, if the car is getting 30 miles to the gallon and we've got to go to church was in Augusta, Georgia, that's about 30 miles away, and we've got 2 gallons, guess what?
You know, she made it so that you had to figure it out, or you were going to be pushing the car. You had to figure out how things were, and so she made sure that we understood that, and she made sure that we single parent home. My mama was mama and daddy and minister, guidance counselor. She made sure we did our homework, and she was always pushing us to do more. She knew that we should do more. She expected it. When we came short, she made sure that we dusted ourselves off, but she was always in our corner. And I think a lot of people just don't realize it, you know, that TVs are raising our children or they think the schools are doing it, and it's our part to do it. So exposure.
A heavy question. Anyone could chime in. Do you feel often that even we in our own community, we feel that STEM, the higher level math, science, technology, computers, and even in some form of art and graphic design, if you will, do you think in our communities people deem, quote unquote, that that's something that we as a whole aren't successful in, and that there's only a small amount of people or a group that will be able to be successful, so we don't hold our community is accountable for those content as other communities. Anyone can chime in.
Well, look who we celebrate. We celebrate Kim Kardashian and not necessarily Katherine Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are both in their own right. They have done amazing things. To be able to turn a career on reality TV is not something everybody can do, but not everybody can get a man home from the moon either. We need to be able to celebrate both.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that. Just we don't value. I mean, we say we do. We go to the movies, and you know, we applaud individuals like Katherine Johnson. But I think we put them on pedestals and say, well, that's for the really smart black people.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's for the really smart women. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. You don't know my story. I mean, not that I'm comparing myself to Katherine Johnson, but I didn't start, and I didn't have a silver spoon in my mouth. I didn't start on a strong math footing. I there's a thing now that's called growth mindset. You know, they have a new name for everything. But it's kind of like when Mama said, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can really do this. And that's really what it is. That's really what got me where I am through, you know, 2 engineering degrees. It was blood, sweat, and tears. It took me longer than everybody else.
But you did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why I really wanted to have this show because, you know, and I think I actually talked to Linda and Vanessa about doing something like a camp maybe a couple of years ago. And because I see where a lot of times where African-American males, you know, a lot of times in most schools, they have the most referrals. And when we think of STEM, you know, you can even start like with Legos, using them as impetus. And I had actually even propositioned this to school division that I'm working in. For the weeks anyway, last year about incorporating STEM activities and starting in the lower ages, in the lower grades, if you will, and getting these kids exposed to STEM, introducing it in a way that is simple, that is simple and easy for them to access, and gradually increase it until they're learning and don't even realize that they are learning. And it seems that as much as we talk about it, a lot of districts are hesitant. And I was sharing when I went to Chapel Hill, which, you know, is known for math, you know, throughout the nation. And there were 7 graders in the class that I'm an inclusion teacher, and they were my special ed students. There were 7 graders in my class who had already earned scholarship money for math. I was floored. There were 7 graders who were already taking tracks. I think I discussed this with Linda a couple years ago. They were already taking tracks of courses in seventh grade in Swift and coding, and they had the whole Apple 3D printing lab like you would have at an institute. They were on the track for engineering. And I remember sitting at the during registration for them for upcoming eighth grade year, and the guidance counselor said, if you haven't taken this course right here, you need to do something else because NC State is looking for this track. And I was thinking, it is such an educational disparity because these kids, yes, girl. And I thought myself, did I doze off? Did I miss something? But I'm so glad that I had that experience because had I not had that experience, I wouldn't be able to tell my daughter or other kids. Like I've taken some of my, I've taken some other girls to some other experiences when they have the Black STEM program in Raleigh or somewhere else. I'm able to share, you know, and even though those girls may not, because they're all my daughter's age, she just turned 16, they may not take that trajectory. At least I gave them the exposure. And I think I was talking to Linda, and I think you were saying how you can tell kids who had exposure who may have came from Chapel Hill or maybe a certain school at Wake, because when they come into their freshman class, they have knowledge base that other students don't. So, Linda, can you speak to that?
Well, having taught freshman intro to engineering, I did that for about 3 years, not at NC State. I mean, I'm a product of NC State, but I didn't teach there. I definitely could see, I could tell the difference between the kids that had early, you know, being early tracked and the ones that could not. The ones that, unfortunately, you know, they were kind of forced by parents or whatever to take the AP classes or take the honors classes, but they were propped up to the point where when you took their high-dollar calculator away, their high-tech, you know, crutch away, they couldn't do simple algebra, like finding the volumes or, you know, finding area, the difference between area and perimeter. They didn't have a math literacy that you would expect a high school graduate to have, but they knew how to program that calculator to do all kinds of, you know, graphing and stuff. They knew that. And it was like, I was floored. It's like, you came in, you qualified, you tested into Calc 1 college, you know, college level Calc 1. It's like, why are you struggling in my intro class?
Yeah,
it was a required freshman seminar.
That's why I'm fifth graders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it is a big difference. We're going to take a couple of callers. Caller from, can't take all you callers this evening, but caller from 225-620, 225-620. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, ladies. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. Great job. Great topic. This is Kim Knight. And yeah, my daughter is listening. What's up? What?
That's, you're supposed to be sick. You get out the phone and rest.
Yes, ma'am. But great job, guys.
Well, thank you. Do you have any? You don't have any questions or comments? Because that's not like you. You have any questions or comments?
No, but I do love the topic because we, you know, I have a senior, so. What she said about taking the calculator away and, you know, all that stuff is so true. A lot of kids are lacking that math literacy. What I'm finding here is that it's the lack of qualified teachers to teach the subject. Or some schools that we think have it, they don't even have a teacher. They're running through subs. So, you know, yeah, so we try to get the outside help as well as what's at school or what's not at school.
And Kim, that is very timely. And as soon as I leave my school division, we'll talk about that. My current school division is very timely because, you know, there are some school divisions who are in such a dire strait for math teachers, especially math and science, that it may create problems for graduation for students. And as I said earlier, I think I even talked to Connie, you know, if you know math and science and you're great at it, you know, you can do You can work at these research chains. You can work at a lot of businesses and things of that nature. So it's creating this big gap, or this big hole, if you will, for the teaching population. And let's be honest, you know, teaching at teaching is not as attractive as it was perhaps maybe even 10 years ago due to a lot of different nations. So, you know, and as parents, I know that Kim is an active parent because we've talked so much over the years. She's an active parent, so she's on top of it. But there are a lot of parents, and as Connie had said earlier, and Vanessa, they kind of take everything for face value, and they don't investigate, and they don't dig, and they don't understand what has happened until the problem is right up in their face and their back is against the wall. So I applaud you, Kim, for being that active and being that proactive parent. And not only for your child, I know that you are an advocate for your community. So I really appreciate that.
But also, I think with math, science, anything in STEM, I think parents need to show kids that math, science mm-hmm. is everywhere. Everyday life, we use it. It's something mm-hmm. as simple as you're just walking, you're on your cell phone, the keys you're stroking, all that stuff. If they can just show them that what you're doing right there is math. How do you learn it? Pick up a book. Ask your teacher. Even some, you know, a lot of parents, my parents were not educated enough to teach me math. I mean, I think I was in elementary school. My mother didn't know any of the math I was doing. But I just always had teachers that invested in me, and I went to the library and I read. It didn't come easy for me. I just read, I looked it up, and I found a way. But I think so many people nowadays, they're just scared of science and math
yeah.
because they don't know how to relate to it. But it, we use it every day in everything we do.
We do. And thank you. Thank you so much. And I know that Connie, you know, being in NASA, and we all saw that beautiful, oh my God, the beautiful portfolio, the gallery that you and one of your colleagues created mm-hmm. and put forth. And, mm-hmm. you know, it is just awesome to see someone that I mean, girl, I felt like you were my sister. I mean, I was talking about you. Did you see that? I mean, I was just so happy to see a woman of color doing something. And I know a lot of women are doing things, but, you know, you don't really, I mean, I can't say I really know. I was like, well, I know someone that works at NASA who's doing this great work and is able to get her work to a global community. And the face that you and your colleagues show and putting forth, you know, is going to create. You know, I was telling, like, the students at school, especially I call them my Charlie Angels, my three girls, who I always encourage to be, I call them my math superstars, and I encourage them to do that. And, you know, one is very, very bright in math, and the other ones are okay, but I always tell them they're my, you know, Charlie Angels, they're my math superstars. And you can see now the other two are really trying to increase their math level because, you know, it, like what Linda was saying, it comes from their encouragement. And I was telling them about you and showing you their work, and they were in awe. They were just in awe. So I want you to know that work encouraged three little black girls you have never met
Aww.
And two living projects. And, you
That's
know,
wonderful.
And so it
Thank
is so good
you.
For them to see someone that looks like them, that they perhaps can relate to doing that kind of work. So what led you until – What led you into this field? Because I know we talked briefly before airing that, you know, a lot of us have similar backgrounds. You know, I'm a product of a single mom. My mom had me very young. I know about you guys. Mom had me very young. And like Linda was saying, of course, y'all know I like to read. And math came easy to me. But, you know, I often wonder, you know, I pushed myself further than my family, previously my family had been, you know, with degrees and getting advanced degrees, but you know, you kind of like wonder what would happen if. So what was that if, Connie, that propelled you to go to the next level?
As far as math, I wasn't very proficient at it when I was young, but then I used to challenge myself. I was always afraid of like word problems. When I was in school, if the teacher would give us a word problem,
I would just like cram up. I'm like, oh my God, don't ask me, just don't pick on me. But then I started reading. I'm like, it's no reason to be fearful. Just look at the problem, figure it out, and you'll get it. And I worked very, very hard at it. So I went to college, and I didn't originally pick math for a major. I was a computer science major. But then my school had accreditation issues, and I was still taking math while I was doing computer science. And so I said, why not switch to math? I got in the math subject and loved it. And once I graduated, I was already working for NASA as a part-time student. And so once I graduated, I just stayed with NASA. And I really thought I was going to go and be a rocket scientist. But then when I got there, I was like, you know, the Challenger accident happened. And I saw, because I was in the public affairs department at that time, I saw how they were all together helping people, educating people about NASA and science and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, the technology, you know, behind how the failure happened, all that stuff. And I was learning that stuff while I was there because I used to read all the materials. And so I said, you know, I think I really like this. So I stayed there. And I've been there ever since. And I help people every day with all kinds of stuff about NASA related through pictures and anything else.
Wow, that is awesome. Now, Vanessa, who I call a genius because she does a little bit of country and rock and roll, and she throws in jazz as well.
Oh, really?
And Linda was talking about how, you know, math is everywhere and, you know, and incorporating that. And you incorporate that in probably all aspects of your life. And Vanessa's also an educator because she's educating her daughter to be the next generation of genius. You know, this is what I'm thinking, ladies, that Vanessa really needs to form a school online and physical, and we need to send all our kids and nephews there. But anyway, I don't think she's going to do that. But, you know, I like to throw that out there every now and then. So, but Vanessa, how are you able, because, you know, when you talk to Vanessa, you realize that, you know, her IQ is probably 200. And so you, like, just nod a lot. And she's going to talk. And so how do you feel?
Just a nerd cousin over in the corner.
The nerd cousin.
Yeah, nerd cousin.
Okay. We all need nerd cousins. So how are you able to, because you are literally, you're training your daughter to be your mini-me. Let's face. So how are you able to transfer your knowledge to her? And what is your goal? What do you see yourself as a scientist, mathematician, computer analyst? And the list goes on. But where do you see your role as a woman of color trying to introduce and to facilitate the STEM to the next generation?
Well, I think it's by leading by example, and I'm able to do the things that I can do because of my background and training. So if I had chosen another path, I don't think I'd be here. You know, from when I was in high school, I was in a school district in South Carolina. They actually had, because we had the big nuclear power plant, DuPont, in our backyard, they would sponsor summer programs. And so that was my first introduction to engineering and seeing that, you know, these people taking these math tools and these science tools and they're building things, you know, and it was very exciting. It was different. And, you know, you know, there's scholarships that some of these institutions would give because they were trying to get more Black girls, more Black boys, more people from poorer socioeconomic backgrounds into engineering, because that's the way to really change the world. You know, we grew up very dirt poor. I remember when I had holes in the shoes, we had to stick cardboard in because, you know, that's what you had to do because, you know, my mom taught us to do what you needed to do. And for me, that was the route out of poverty, was looking at how do these people take math, take these tools and build things. Because if you can build something, that's how you change the world. And so I've been afforded all these opportunities because I went the engineering path. Our kids are multi-gifted. You know, they may have things in entertainment. I could have gotten a second a second bachelor's in Western civilization in history, but I kept going in mechanical engineering at Penn State. You get choices and options. It's kind of funny now what I do. It would have probably made some sense. You know, writing historical fiction. But, you know, the ability, you know, we remember the people, the politicians, we remember the rock stars, the basketball players, the football players. We need to put science and teachers on that same level. And so with my daughter, I show her things. She sees both the creative side. So when I'm writing, she sees that. She sees the passion and dedication for writing. But when I'm coding in the middle of the night for a client's project, she sees that too. She, you know, I talk through the strategies of how I have to employ math to show the different confluences of influence of a certain thing we may be employing. Like we're trying to track how students are going on a certain roadmap or certain goals and how they are getting closer to it or what tools they're using. I kind of try to talk through those strategies.
You all got on plan, but I told you she really is a genius. She's a low-key genius. Continue, Vanessa.
So it's just more so I believe in atmosphere. If you can put your kids in an atmosphere of learning, they're going to pick up something. So it's not always me, you know, saying do this, do this, do this. It's more like let me show you, because if I can show her, it goes back to that old principle. If I show you how to fish, then I've shown you how to make something for a lifetime. And so if all of us appreciate mathematics and show our kids that, I think that's the way that we can bring them forward and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, my I don't know if there's a question, I don't even want to say a fear, but it is a fear, because when you work in a school system and you see not only the disparity, but you see like the priority of where the money is going, and you also see where there is limiting funding or there's not enough funding certain communities where they can have exposure. And I fear that is going to already diminish the little growth that we may see in STEM careers. And so I'm hoping that different corporations and different agencies, when they're looking at different avenues and different camps, like I think Connie mentioned earlier, you know, with the camps, and Vanessa, you mentioned the camps as well, and you know, how we are able, hopefully someone's able to galvanize it and introduce and push and just expose these kids to that. I have another caller. I'm going to try to get this last caller in. 708, because you've been holding for a while. I am so sorry. 708-912. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hello, it's Shannon again.
Hi, Shannon.
How are you all?
Hi. We are good. How are you doing, Gordon?
All right. I do kind of have a question. As far as a guardian or a parent or an adult who has children in their life that might be interested in STEM, how do you go about finding local resources in order to get them involved?
Well, I know from the NASA point of view, if you just go to www.nasa.gov/STEM, there are an enormous amount of resource on there, and they would even send you to educators in your area. So I would definitely go there.
Wow, thank you.
Also, go to your guidance counselor, the guidance counselor for your children. They should be aware of countywide programs that may be coming up. This is in March, April, for things that are happening over the summer. Definitely do that. And also Google summer camp for your area.
Yep.
The application time, oftentimes, but we think about it summertime, it's already too late. You got to think about it now to get into the application processes.
Many public libraries have STEM activities. They might not call it STEM. They might call it gaming club, or, you know, Lego League or whatever. But, you know, they have those, and they're usually free.
Okay. I like that we're doing the free. That's good. I know we said we need to invest in our kids, but free does, especially like for a lot of parents who have more than one child or more than one guardian, nephew, that they're trying to encourage. And so price does become a factor. So that free stuff, right. That's good. Good point, your local library, because I know where I live in my home state, our library, which even is a small community, they do have free coding classes during the week, and they probably do have something during the summer. So that's a very good point to make. Very good point to make. Thank you, Shannon,
and
for calling in.
Sorry.
Thank you, ladies. Just keep on doing what you all are doing. You ladies are doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, it's so important. Thank you for Shannon, for making that, asking that question. And thank you all. And, you know, you know what, Connie, I would never think that NASA may have links or opportunities or even can give you a point of interest. And sometimes,
yeah,
I think we overlook the obvious. And Linda, even talking about libraries, like you said, they may not actually call it STEM per se, because they're, you know, concentrating on reading, but with the Lego lab and the coding and the gaming. And anytime you can get kids interested in gaming, you can actually hook them into, you know, so many different things and talking about data with or anything of that nature. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming on, because each of you ladies have given us a lot of information to digest. You've given us interest points. You've given us point of contact. And you've given representation in a place that often we don't see women who look like us or talk like us. So I want to applaud you for all that you do. And not to put any pressure on you ladies, but you all are really holding the beacon when it comes to STEM, because, you know, anytime you can see women who are charting in unfamiliar territory, and not only charting, but charting it well and doing a great and awesome job and being successful, it always brings joy to my heart. So I applaud each and every one of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I appreciate all you educators out there.
Yeah, what did you say, Connie?
I appreciate all you educators out there.
Oh, honey, thank you. And this wraps up my show, ladies and gentlemen. And from my heart to yours, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And if you are on the East Coast, and I think you have time to vote in this Democratic runoff, and I think you're in the Central Coast, you may have maybe 13 minutes or less. So please exercise your vote. Exercise your right. Please do so. And have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Thank you, ladies. Fun.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.